Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the We Are Women podcast. My name is Janine Vosper, and I am your host. Now, with me today, I have Linda Diane Whatley. Now, Linda is a veteran of the United States Army, and she is an advocate for sufferers of PTSD. You would have heard that before. It's post-traumatic stress disorder. And also for those who have suffered any form of victimization, including domestic violence and sexual abuse. Now, her message is all about getting to the best truths that allow the victims to be set free. You're going to love this interview because I just find that subject just so exciting. Linda accomplishes this by sharing her gifts and talents that God gave her. One being an author of several books that lead readers to go deep within themselves and find their own inner strength and their voice. Now, Linda is also a contributing columnist to The Best Will Show Themselves for over 12 years. So she's been doing that. And where she shared truths and stirred the hearts of minds of the readers in spiritual matters. So today she's opened up a platform for others to share their truths with the world. And that's her online television show, The Truth Will Set You Free by TLB TV and the Liberty Beacon Project. And that's proven to be a really powerful beacon of light. And I will share a little bit more about my experience with that the other day too. Her recent book, PTSD to Freedom, No More War Within, is written by her and William Sumner. Now, as veterans understanding post-traumatic stress disorder, they join together to create an amazing tool to get those suffering PTSD a unique opportunity to have complete reign over their daily reality. Doesn't it sound really, really cool? Now, Linda is available for speaking engagements and book signings and interviews, and she lives to do God's will. This is going to be so much fun. Linda, the other day, got to interview me. Now we've turned the table and I get to interview Linda. Welcome to the program, Linda.
Well, thanks for having me on your show, Janine.
Yeah, and Linda's based in Ohio in the US, so a lot of our listeners are from Australia and different time zones, but we managed to connect and get together again. Now, Linda, it's a really interesting subject, and I know your PTSD experiences and that has been through with the Army experience, but PTSD isn't just found by somebody going to war, is it?
Correct. And that's where I come in at, especially in my book that I just shared with William Sumner. My main concern is the fact that people are undiagnosed, especially children, because they grow up and they still have it and it has an impact on their choices. And so I kind of want to enlighten parents and younger people before they hit like 30, 40 years old to know that you just might want to talk to someone, or you might just want to understand what's going on with you that makes you feel not like everybody else.
Yeah, wow. That's something we're definitely going to investigate a little bit more. But I know that you have firm beliefs about this setting this free, don't you?
Well, oh, definitely.
So what is that? Because it's an unusual statement that the truth will set you free. What does that mean?
Well, see, what I like about truth is it's going to take you to a different place if you let it. That's one thing I emphasize on. Like for me, I didn't realize I had a problem. I just realized I felt like something was wrong. Mm-hmm. And so when someone that I was talking to and constantly gave me my diagnosis, that was the beginning for me to realize that I wasn't crazy, that that I was abnormal. I wasn't of the norm, enjoying life like everybody else. And so that truth alone set me on the path to figure out how do I get to some form of being normal.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's a key factor in a lot of mental illness is what exactly is normal when you haven't been normal. And so once somebody gives you a possibility that you could be PTSD or any mental illness, that gives you a chance to help yourself. That gives you a chance to embrace yourself and realize that people need to understand that they too might have a problem and that they too need to know what's going on with them. Because what happens is parents are so busy that they don't realize that their child is suffering inside from their life choices, living in their truths. See, I was a result of domestic violence, molestation, you know, rape, mental abuse, and actually physical abuse.
Wow.
I was reacting to those things in life, which did not allow me to be your normal child who didn't have to suffer adult experiences. Mm. And so when I was diagnosed with PTSD, I had a platform to work off of finally to explain why I was alienated, why I was so quiet. And really, I didn't even know what happiness meant.
No, wow, that's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And just on that, you said what your understanding of what normal was, but if this is all happening to you as a child, then where is your go-to as to what you believe is what, an inverted commas, is normal? Because you haven't experienced that. Were you looking outside at others and thinking, is that normal? Is that what I want? You know, where were you getting that? What do I want?
Well, for me, that's why I'm saying, that's why I wrote my book, because I wanted to get to people before they try to, you know, become a parent, especially, or just in leadership, that, you know, you might want to get your foundation solid. Because for me, I suffer with PTSD up into like heading towards 40 without a diagnosis.
Mm, that's a long time.
But I knew something was going on with me. And another thing that happened to me, I was widowed at a young age and I had two young children to raise alone. Mm. And it was me being a parent myself and seeing how my children were living their life. I knew they had a platform that wasn't compromised like mine's. And so as I was loving my children, I realized I had existed not only with PTSD, but a normal form of love.
Mm.
That was a missing element in my life. I didn't have a normal love base.
So how did you find it? So if you haven't got that as your base, then you've got the children yourself. So you've it just was that then just innate, or did you realize that I want my children to have a totally different experience, so I need to find what that experience is? Is that what you had to do?
Well, for me, because I had married my soulmate, he loved me any way I was, and that was the beginning of my healing process. But when my husband was alive, I knew something was holding me back to fully exist in our relationship. He knew something was wrong with me also. But, I mean, we couldn't pinpoint. Nobody was talking about PTSD, especially for a woman just married. No one was interacting with me to tell me that something was wrong. But my husband knew something was wrong with me, and he was very protective of me. And so, excuse me. So one day I was just seeing myself, and I said, wow, what is really happening to me? This man loves me. How come I can't respond to it? How come I can't be? I knew I was missing something. I couldn't pinpoint it. But then when I was looking in his eyes, I said, he deserved to be embraced. And I don't know what it was in myself that made me realize I wasn't embracing him. But then when we had our children, I had embraced them just naturally. And that's when I start realizing that I wasn't giving my companion what I was giving my children. And I said, why is this? I felt that because my children were just depending on me.
Mm.
you know, to love them, protect them, guide them. I was their first God on earth. And I had to make sure that I was giving them something that would carry them through life. And so that's when I start realizing that I was missing something that my husband deserved. And just when I was starting to embrace him, because I was learning to embrace through loving my children, he was killed in a car accident.
Oh, my goodness me. That's a big trauma, another big trauma, isn't it, on top of that?
Right. And that right there, I was like, just when I was coming to something, you know, it was something I was coming to, and it was deep within myself. And I still didn't realize I had PTSD at that time, but I was coming to a place that I had never been because I was loving out into my children.
Mm.
That connection, that bond was just there. But when it's with another person, because I never had it early in life, I couldn't attach myself, but I could be with them. Because when you're molested, you don't realize there's something for you. You always providing for the person that's molesting you. So you're not looking for anything back.
Mm.
So that's why I was able to be with him, because he embraced me.
Mm.
So that was normal for me, but yet something was bothering me why I wasn't, you know, like he was embracing me. How come I couldn't do it? But it was because of I was PTSD from, like I say, my parents fought constantly.
Mm.
My father was the person. I was 3 years old when it happened. I have flashbacks of that.
Mm.
When he took my virginity, I didn't even know I wasn't a virgin.
Goodness me.
And that blew me away when I found out I wasn't a virgin. I was really blown away because I thought I was one. So that took me someplace too, because that was important to me. Because actually, you would not believe, one of my goals when I was a child was to be a nun. And I said, well, I can't be one now. You had to be a virgin.
Yeah, that's sort of criteria. Yeah. I think you're creating change in people's lives more so with the opportunities now, that rather than being a nun anyway, Linda. And you know, and you're a believer like I am, that people come into your lives to, you know, serve a purpose. And obviously that your first husband, that was his purpose, was to start to free that within you as well and start to see that there was opportunity for a different way of being.
Right. And I knew something was wrong, but it's like I was living like in a, I don't even want to say a bubble, like in a cement block. It's like I kept trying to embrace him. And every time I go to embrace him, I was like hitting something. Because it wasn't normal for me to, you know, give myself up just me with a plan of love. I didn't have, you know, people love different ways. And I was always the one, you let me know what you want. And that's all I did. But for me to love on you, I didn't have that opportunity to do that as a child with my parents, with my siblings, because my parents, when they separated and divorced, I ended up in a stepfamily situation. So I was the only girl my parents had, and I had two brothers, and I was separated from them in a house. And so our bond was broken, so I never was able to love on my brothers. I was not able to love on my parents because they was preoccupied in their misery. So I didn't know how to do that until I had children and realized that was a missing link in my life. And that was part of the PTSD. Mm. It's like living in a zone of warp or some kind of time where people are existing, but you're just here.
Mm. And then joining the army. So you saw action as well?
Well, that army was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because when I went there, I realized people had no clue of who I was. So I could be anybody I wanted to be. So I was like a performer. I was a happy person. Okay. No one asked me about my family. No one asked me about what made me happy or unhappy. So I could present my best self at that time. So I was like brand new. And see, that's where I met my husband, also was in the military, in the Army. I didn't travel abroad. He did. And when he came back from Korea, that's when we were married. But it was something about me. He just embraced me, and I knew he did. And I felt safe, but I felt guilty because I couldn't give him what he was giving me. But it didn't bother him, but it bothered me.
Mm. And that being a performer, there's a lot of people that are living their lives in that sort of state as well, isn't it? They're not, they can't investigate or can't understand that truth within themselves, that to, so it's easier to be something else that other people expect, or rather than just being, you know, I see this within people as really, they're not who they project themselves to be. And especially, you know, we talk, a lot of the people listening here in business as well, is that they're not as, there's something about them that isn't authentic and real, but they don't know what it is either. And you don't know what it is, but people pick up on it because it's right. That performance.
But you know what really took me through the process of realizing the core of my problem? It was kind of bizarre because, like I said, I had my children, my husband had died. I was taking care of them. I was working two jobs, and I had a third shift job, and I was sitting at the keyboard one night. I was caught up on my work, and all of a sudden, I just start typing. I mean, I became an author unexpectedly.
Okay.
I just start, characters just start talking because something was happening in my life and I was breaking. Something, I was just breaking, you know, the whole widow role and my children growing up. I was alone. I was trying to keep us together. I was stressed out. I guess that's the way to describe it, because a lot of times you be stressed out, you don't know it. You think because you can do something that you're not stressing, but I was stressed out working two jobs and taking care of two young children. You know, they were boys. And I was alienated. I've always been alienated. And so characters just start coming out.
Okay.
And it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. I wrote my first book, and I call it Molested Angel. And it was weird because you would think you wouldn't title a book like that, because who want to hear the word molested, you know? But the book was called Molested Angel. And I had, and it was a fiction.
Okay.
And all these characters was experiencing my life in different ways. I was in almost all of my characters to some degree.
Wow. And how did that feel when you, you know, got all the words out and finished writing it? Was there a change within you?
I almost had a nervous breakdown at that moment when my soul came out on paper. I almost had a nervous breakdown. I had to keep up with my work, take care of my children, and I was collapsing on the inside of the reality. And the reality that you experience, I don't know about, I would say most people do, is that you realize that, wow, I would never know who I would have been if I hadn't been molested at the age of 3.
Wow.
That was the reality that was breaking me more than anything.
Let me rephrase that or repeat that. I don't know who I would have been if I hadn't been molested at the age of 3. Is that what you said? So thinking about,
yes,
could I have been different? Could I have been more? Could I have been less? Is that what you mean by that? Was
more than anything, you would feel that you would have been more. You would have made different choices. Because my self-esteem, I had no self-esteem, and I didn't have no value. I didn't have an identity that made me happy, that gave me direction. I was just here responding off of people.
But again, if you hadn't had that experience, then you wouldn't be able to have the words to put down on in a book that can change the lives of other people.
Right.
as well. So the experience is given to someone who can cope with it. It's given the opportunity for people who come into a life to change that and then be able to express it to help others, which is quite powerful, isn't it? And obviously the belief in God enables that belief to come through, that they're there for you and you're strong enough to cope with it.
Right. And, you know, my first book signing, it confirmed and it strengthened me that I had a purpose, because in one course of a book signing, three strangers told me that they appreciated me writing that book because they were not able to talk about it or share with other people, that they were protecting their little sister. So they took it.
Mm. Yeah.
I was shocked that it was that well known.
Yeah. And you're probably thinking, this doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen to a lot of other people. But when you start to share your story, you'll realize it happens a lot, unfortunately.
And like you just said, though, it wasn't in vain, because I feel like God gave me the gift to code the inner struggle, the confusion, the lack of understanding of what's happening to them. He gave me an understanding of that journey within, and I was able to verbalize it. I was able to write it. And what most people appreciated about my work, because I have written several books, is the fact that I get it.
Yeah.
And that's where healing begins, is, wow, she gets it.
And that's the thing that builds that authenticity, is that you've lived the experience. And you don't always have to live the experience to write on it. But for something as strong and important and powerfully emotional as the struggle through, physical abuse and sexual abuse, and what becomes of it, the PTSD, you really have to have experienced it to be able to understand it. I don't think that anyone who hasn't experienced it, we can empathize with it, but if we haven't experienced it, then we can't possibly know how it feels and share that information on a page particularly.
Right, right. And it's a beautiful feeling when you know that it wasn't in vain. Because it's like I could talk about it just like I can talk about the weather now. and make you feel like, see, I survived it. I didn't just survive it. I am not a victim anymore. And see, that's the thing that happened from that experience, is that victimization carried over in every area of my life. I was abused by people. People took me for granted. Just like when I started my writing career, I was victimized even in that sense, that I didn't know no better, that you don't trust people. Trust never really entered my mind, because people were just taking from me from birth, pretty much. So I wasn't able to perceive that I was in danger. And that's one of the important things about that. You don't perceive that somebody could destroy you or take from you. And when I started my writing career, I lost thousands and thousands of dollars. I lost my home. I had to file bankrupt. Wow. Because I was trusting young women who were supposed to be Christian women, having a relationship with God. I mean, we prayed together. I mean, I felt safe with them. I was like a mother image for them. These were young women, and they had businesses in the literary world. And so they was a Christian foundation. I just knew God had drawn me to them, because I went online and found them. And when they were Christian, I didn't even question that I may possibly get ripped off.
I would have thought that's another trauma. That's a significant trauma again, isn't it? But I think, and eventually you sort of get to the stage where you learn from being aware, isn't it? You go, oh, that's why I'm getting all of this stuff through. Right. Now I've got it. What do I need to do to change it? Is that where it gets to?
Because I know my neighbor, she had asked me, she said, do you have victim on your back, paste on your back? Because everything in your life points to victimization.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's but that was the journey to get you to where you are now, and to be able to help other people with your stories, and but also the lessons you've learned, so that other people don't necessarily have to experience them. And I think even for other people going through it, to know that there might be a purpose to it is powerful as well, because we often don't see that. But I just want to share a story that years ago, unlike the US, Australia has had only one gun massacre, and that happened about 25 years ago. We don't have the same gun policies here, so it just doesn't happen. And there was a person went crazy at a tourist attraction, an old convict attraction in Tasmania, and one particular, a woman and her two young daughters were shot, and the husband wasn't there. They were at that particular day, and he wrote a book about watching the clock go past and the trauma and the grief that he suffered. And just, I think that the book is something about time, and I can't remember it now, but it's just that one moment in time that was different from the moment before, and the different from the moment before, and how he progressed through that grief that he had suffered at losing his entire family. But the amount of people now that he has changed their lives in how they deal with their grief has been tens of thousands. You know, that you touch so many people with your story that you can change lives with your message.
That's exactly right, too, because even with me having two sons and they know my story, when they read my books, it strengthened them because they couldn't fathom that that's where I had come from. And for me to be the person that I was able to be to them, they know it was miraculous. They know that life had hope, that you never give up. So it really strengthened even the boys in my life, my children, their base and understanding of you never know what people go through. So why hurt people? So it was really, when you can bless within your own household, you know, your own foundation of people, and then you branch out, you know that it wasn't in vain. And I just watched them and how they handled life and situations and people. I was able to bless their lives with sharing my experiences with them as well. You know, they understand because they have daughters, you know, and a son too. I have three grandchildren. But the way they walk through life, I know that my life wasn't in vain. And when people realize where I have come from, they can't believe it. Because they say, why are you so happy all the time?
And, you know, most people, if they just had the bankruptcy, that would be enough. Or if they just had the, you know, the traumatic loss of the love of their life, that would be enough. If they, you know, trying to raise children by themselves, that would be enough. Or if they've had the sexual abuse, that would be enough. Or if they have the broken family, that would be enough. But you got it all. You got it all, Linda. You got the whole lot loaded on you, you know.
But you have to know this, Janine. My husband was killed in a car accident in 1984. I had a severe car accident in 1986. I was in the hospital for 3 months. And my children were not there during that time because my mother-in-law had my children and she felt like it was traumatizing them coming to the hospital, seeing me in the state that I was in. So when that happened to me, you know, physical ailments or physical trauma, not just mental and emotional, that has an impact on you. But because of the love I had for my children, I checked myself out of that hospital because my youngest one just could not handle it anymore, me not being in their life. My oldest one, I think he was really traumatized also, not knowing, is this going to be another parent that's not coming back home? Because he was old enough to understand that with his father. So I had to find my way back to my children, even though the hospital, you know, the staff told me they do not recommend that I leave.
Wow.
Because I kept blacking out.
Goodness me. I mean, that's just another load. But as you said, as you said, you know, you're happy now, and you know what happiness is now as well. So understanding that you had PTSD, there's obviously the first step, but what other steps did you take working through that to get to where you are now?
Okay. When I was diagnosed with PTSD, it was through a person who I had went for counseling who was kind of like holistic, more so than a psychologist, you know, therapy, medication, and different things like that. And when she told me that that's what was going on with me, I took that information and I did my own research, because I was already a person of meditation, but I hadn't taken the time out to exercise it in a capacity that it could have made a better difference for me until I realized I had the PTSD. So I started spending more time with my thought patterns. I started observing myself, you know, because what happened with PTSD is there's triggers. Like somebody can be carrying a conversation, don't realize they said something that just set off one of my designators,
right.
You know, right. Or you could be watching TV, or you could hear a sound. Different things trigger a reaction. And it's like a propelling anxiety attack within yourself, that you're standing in front of people. They don't even realize that this is going on with you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But what I learned is you have to learn to breathe. People think they're breathing because they're alive. But one of the key factors to have control of your life is to be conscious of your breathing, especially when anxiety is trying to overtake you. Mm. You have to slow it down. You have to slow down that breathing, because when that breathing gets out of control, the thought processes get out of control. So when you focus on that breathing, that gives you a chance to calm it down, because it's almost like it wants to destroy you. So one of the things that I learned, like I said, the truth will set you free. Now, this is something that I just really, really believe. You are responsible for every second of your life choices. You're not supposed to just say, I had a reaction, forgive me. You shouldn't have to say you're sorry all the time, or even too often if you have control of yourself, you know. Mm. And so I learned that if I am not happy right now, what truth am I living in?
Mm.
This truth has control of my emotions, of my thought patterns. What truth are you living in, that I'm not worthy of happiness? I don't care to live in that truth. What truth can override that truth to put you in a different state? People do not take time out to take responsibility for their thoughts and feelings. That's one of the things about the people that I know with PTSD. They are phenomenal people. They are very disciplined people. They learn to make the best choices in life because they realize the repercussions of your choices. So you become a very empowered person taking responsibility of your life, because it's not just your actions, it's your emotions and your thoughts that you are really, really responsible for. And when you have that kind of control, you feel, I guess it's more than empowered, you feel individualized, like you say, authentic, because you know you could have done some horrible things or said some very painful things to people and you didn't. You protect people from your worst self, especially the people you love. That's love to me, protecting people from your worst self.
And that's not something and that's a huge sense of awareness. That's not something a lot of people can do, and that takes the skill and the practice to be able to step out and look in on your responses, your actions, your thinking, how you're living your life, isn't it? And the choices you're making. And I'm totally in agreement with you about every experience that you have in life is a choice that you've made, and how it your responses, how you respond is another choice to it as well. Yeah, that's very, very strong sort of statement on that, isn't it?
But it makes you feel like you're in control of not being destructive. Mm. You're not wasting your life energy. You're owning your whole self, because your self is in your choices, your feelings and thoughts. Because you're standing in front of a person, you have no clue what they're thinking. It's like they have no clue what you're thinking. And so you're always permitting. And I remember bringing up my children. I said, wow, one of the most important things for me is for them to realize life is not dark. Mm. And I said, for me to be able to present that in their life, I couldn't afford to be dark. I couldn't even grieve. I didn't have time to grieve, because that meant that that's all they was going to feel for me once their father was gone. I had the responsibility of creating a vibration that they could walk out the door with and feel alive and purposeful, because it permeated for me. So I took responsibility for that.
Yeah, and not everyone does. And it's more than saying that you remain strong. It's that you positioned yourself in a place where you created the environment that you wanted your children to experience. So you did remain strong, but it's not just that. It's a lot more. It sounds a lot more than that, and feels a lot more than that, that it's just, okay, this is the reality now. So let's make the choice. And as you said, that not create darkness in that reality, but to create light in that reality, even though, you know, you're feeling devastated at the time.
And, you know, like one of the things I had taught my children is this, because there are times that you don't understand why people are so harsh towards you and unhappy. But I tell people all the time, a person can only give you what they have. If they're pained inside, they're going to give you pain. Mm. If they're happy inside, they're going to give you happiness. And so that responsibility is what really gave me my foundation. I wanted to be a center on this earth, in my space, where there's light, gentleness, compassion, empathy, you know, a loving vibration that causes people to exhale. Because it's so much stress and disappointment, unhappiness in the world that people tend to just surrender to it. But I knew I couldn't do that, because that meant that my children was not being fed on the inside. You can clothe your children, buy them material things, feed them food, but that is just the one aspect of parenting. A lot of people don't realize in their parenting that you're responsible for giving them something on the inside, that when they grow up, it will sustain them. They can come back to it when the world challenges them. You're responsible for making sure that they know who they are. And how do they know who they are? You let them be who they are in the house. I didn't try to be overbearing and control, because I had the power to control their life. I allowed them to unfold, because I was not granted that. And I knew that was a missing link for me. So I allowed them, especially with me being a woman, because to me, they was like two little aliens, because they were boys. Yeah. And I, you know, so they was like two little aliens. I said, I can never replace their father, but I can make them a great person. I can't make them a great man, but I can make them a great person. And I knew what it took to make you a great person. And I made sure that they understood that you are precious in your own right, and that the world was going to challenge them to who they are. So make sure that you know who you are, so that when people come for you, you be like, no, that's not me. You know, like a lot of times kids end up on drugs and gangs and different things because they don't know their identity. That was important to me, because I didn't know mine.
Yeah.
That they knew what made them who they are.
Yeah, I'm just still amazed at, you know, considering your childhood, where this inner ability and knowledge and awareness came from. It's, you know, to be able to gift that to your children, and obviously gift that to the people that you've worked with and you've come in contact with, and it, you know, through your books and that, is quite outstanding. That it's just, it's, you know, you made a decision and this is it, and then you've lived evidence of that decision as well, and it's, you know, real testimony to who you've become and what you've done with your life, even though you've had all the trauma and had that, you know, didn't have the, even have the diagnosis of the PTSD until you're 40.
But do you know, Janine, I could share with you a moment that I realized that I was not alone in this world. It's because, you know, one of the things when you're molested, you're wondering, where is your God, your creator, while all this is going on? People don't want to admit that. They don't understand how God could let something like this happen to an innocent child who didn't know that this shouldn't be happening. So I didn't realize that I was feeling and thinking that way until I grew up and was like heading towards 40. But what really connected me to a greater power, a God that I trust, was, okay, when the police knocked on my door and told me that I needed to get to the hospital because my husband was in a critical car accident, I was walking towards the emergency room door and I looked up to the sky and the sun was shining. And I said, God, please don't take my husband. I mean, I didn't even get this sentence completely out, and the voice said, pray for something else I already have.
Oh, goodness.
And I was like, here I am, lost the love of my life, but that voice that, you know, went through my body and my soul had embraced me to the point where I was conflicting with, I just lost the love of my life. And my creator just spoke to me. I didn't have to wait till he came, or it came. It was so fast and so real that I couldn't ignore it, because I'm not religious, but I love God. I love the God that I came to understand within myself. I love the presence of the God that I come to know. I'm not a religious person from the standpoint that I feel like it's something that I have to do to be embraced by the creator that made me, because that quick, it was just so phenomenal. And so I go on into the hospital and they would not let me see my husband for almost an hour. No one told me anything. I'm sitting there captivated by this voice that told me to pray for something else. And so I got up. I said, I want to see my husband. Then I actually felt in my soul, my husband say, don't come in here. So I got up and went home.
Yeah.
Because that inner is the reality of life more so than the outer. And from that moment right there, I became a different person.
That's quite an amazing story, and it just feels just so powerful. Yeah.
And I love my life today. I mean, like I say, when I do my shows, when I write my books and the response that I get, I understand that this is not heaven, but the closest to heaven is in your home. If you don't have heaven on earth in your home, you don't have heaven. I don't care how many times you go to religious buildings and conversations. If heaven is not in your home, then you're not really fulfilled in your life, because that's where you go to embrace the best safe aspect of yourself.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that point. It's that you don't need that external confirmation. It's that is within you and where you are. And your home can be your physical house, or your home is your home. It's you. You are your home, aren't you?
Right.
Yeah. Now, this has been amazing, this conversation. If you could, other than having, you know, the voice of God giving you the message straight away, if other people, you know, are struggling with issues, then what would be just, you know, a couple of quick things that you would say? And breathe was one of them. I think I heard you on that one. But anything else that you think that you could say, please make sure that you do this.
Well, for me, like I say, when you are not feeling and being what you want to be in this moment, I tell a person, go somewhere, sit down, and identify that truth that you are allowing to consume you in this moment that have you in this state, and do not get up until you find the right truth that overpowers the truth that has you where you don't want to be. That's a responsibility that you owe yourself, because when you love yourself, that's one of the things that I have learned that people don't understand. You are the first child that you will ever have in life. You are supposed to love that child, embrace, protect, nurture, and give to that child the best that you can give. You give to that child more than any child or person in your life, because they deserve to be embraced. You have to understand that you are priceless. There is not one person on the face of this earth that could be you. Can't even come close. So you are authentic in your own right. So you have an authentic presentation that shouldn't be compromised to fit in with somebody else's way of existence. So you're supposed to make it so powerful and so loving, because you were chosen to be the person you are, no matter what you experience in pain and suffering and, you know, unwanted experiences. It's not just happening to you. There's always someone that got a story that can shut your mouth. Mm. And one of the things that I did once I was diagnosed with PTSD, I learned even before then, that got me to the understanding that I have today, is reading is a gift. Mm. It's just like when you're eating food, you're taking that food in to nourish your body cells. When you read, you're nurturing your inner unseen self that's controlling everything in your life. And when you feed it by reading, it is phenomenal, because you're transforming by the truths that you don't even comprehend, because your body is capable. It's so phenomenal, the power of your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, that everything you take in, it uses. So if you don't have the knowledge or the experience to be the full person you want to be, Google.
Yes. Yes, we. Google, there's no excuse anymore.
Exactly.
It's free. We have access to more information than we've ever had in our, you know, in the history before us. We can, and it's all free there and available, isn't it? So that's, yeah. Reading is, or listening. You know, listening to podcasts like this. If you can't read, there's other ways to receive information. There's no excuse anymore to not be more than you are at this particular moment in time, because there's opportunity to be more by learning more.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do people get in touch with you, Linda? And what, you know, so how do people get in touch with you, first of all? If people, do you work with people, at clients, or it's particularly through your books? What do you do?
Well, basically, I'll receive emails. My email address is universallove26@yahoo.com. I get a lot of, you know, emails there to communicate with people. I'm available if people would like for me to do book signings or speaking engagements. I enjoy those, because sometimes I go to different groups and just talk about victimization. I mean, so many different levels of victimization and the understanding of PTSD as a woman. Not just as a soldier, but as a woman who has experienced the things that I have. And they can also go to my website and, you know, fill out the information there and receive a newsletter at.
Is your website, what's your website? Sorry, I interrupted you then.
LindaWatley.com.
So that's LindaWatley.com.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And that, and your books are up there, or do we go to Amazon for those?
My books are on Amazon right now. Basically, the book that I have available today is PTSD to Freedom. And that just came out a couple of weeks ago. I don't have it. Yes.
I was going to say, and see, and from this discussion, it's not PTSD, is it's only because it's become aware because of the people going into battle, but it's people going into battle in their everyday lives. And and as you said, the war within is what the struggle is. And there's so many people out there that have PTSD and from a young age. And we've sort of touched again on that children having it as well, but they don't, not aware. So it's for anyone who's struggling at all, isn't it?
It's a reaction to trauma.
Mm.
It's a very normal. That's what my main thing is. Post-traumatic stress disorder is a normal survival mechanism that kicks in from the reaction of trauma. Instead of killing you, it sustains you until you get to a better place to place it within yourself, because it's a lot of damage. It's so many different levels of post-traumatic stress disorder. But once you realize you have it, it's so many ways as your personality or the effects of it, how you can embrace it. Because that's why I brought in the other author, William Sumner, because I wanted them to see how men as well has found a way to deal with it and function in life, because it affects relationships. And like I say, a lot of times I know my younger son, my oldest son, he was getting ready to turn 5 years old. I knew that he was traumatized by losing his father because they had the same name and the same birthday. It was a week before they was going to share their next birthday.
Wow.
And I tell people I saw when the light went out in his eyes, but I didn't know it was PTSD, but I knew it was something that was painful. And he didn't have no control of it.
No. And I have a 5-year-old grandson he would deal with it. Yes. Different than his 2-year-old sister because of that age, that awareness is very much there. Yeah.
And I tell you, the most beautiful thing that happened for me as far as my writing career, when I wrote my first book on PTSD, Soldier with a Backpack, Living and Dying Simultaneously, it changed my oldest son's life.
Okay. In what way?
Because he has PTSD.
Mm. From his.
And you know, it changed my mother's life because she had PTSD and she was undiagnosed because she experienced domestic violence. Mm. It changed her life. When you see the light come into their lives because they saw that somebody related to them, somebody that you love, it strengthens you to just keep giving to others.
Mm. Yeah, it's certainly and it's so good that because we are talking about mental illness a lot more now. You know, there's a lot of the royal family in England, you know, the younger ones, that's their goal is to make people aware of mental illness and how to work through it. And it's becoming part that it's acceptable and it's, we just need to find a way through. And the things that you've given us, you know, that I'd absolutely love that you said that you are the first child that you'll ever have in your life. That is probably one of the strongest statements that I've ever had, because I've always talked about nurturing yourself, but the way you worded that then, you know, that child deserves to be cherished, loved and nurtured. If nothing else that people get from, listening to this or this, although it's just an amazing story, an amazing interview, for me, that is just so important, that to love and cherish and nurture yourself as if you are your child. Wow. That's strong, Linda.
But it makes you feel so okay. That's the best way I can describe it, because I can walk past the mirror and smile and say, I love you, Linda.
Mm.
I said, you just hung in there when I wasn't there.
And not many people, everyone's finding fault of themselves instead of, and yeah, as a parent with your baby and your child, no matter how ugly they are, that you love them and you think they're the most beautiful thing that's ever been gifted to this world, and to imagine that love and that sense of love for yourself at that same level, then it, I know when we talked on the interview the other way, it was about confidence and that, but wouldn't that just really just boost that belief in yourself to, you know, a level that can't be denied?
Right. Yeah. Embrace. It's nothing like an embrace. You can't beat embrace. And it's a feeling that just clings everything together, and you just feel okay. It's a good feeling about feeling okay. Like, you don't have to be having so much fault in yourself, so much judgment. It's just, you're okay, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good word as well. You're okay. Linda, this has been fantastic, and I've absolutely loved every minute. So if you want to get in touch with Linda, her website again is lindawatley.com. You can email her at universallove26@yahoo.com, and go and grab that book, The PTSD to Freedom, No More War Within. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
This morning for me, good night for you. Yeah, it's been wonderful, Linda. I've just enjoyed it so much.
Take care.
Thank you. Okay, bye for now. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I trust you enjoyed that. And just remember to share this with your friends and let them know about the great lessons and of life and business and health and that we enjoy on this podcast. So that's Janine Vosper signing off for now. Bye.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.